At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yay. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop in one hand. And pat we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into Five on the Floor here on the Five Reasons Sports Network and the Five Reasons Sports YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and turn the notifications on. I don't have Greg. I don't have Alex today. I don't even have Brady, who should be in the intro, but he isn't. I do have Vishnu and Jazz, though, because we're doing a series of crossover episodes with our other great podcasts and YouTube shows on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Make sure you check out the one that we did with 3 yards per carry. People didn't know what CK looked like until we actually had him on YouTube. They said he doesn't sound like what we would expect. But we had CK Parrott, Chris Kaufman, and Alfredo Arteaga on with Greg and I the other day talking about the Heat and the Dolphins, where both organizations are at this point. We did a bunch of rapid-fire stuff. Everybody went Wade over Marino, guys. So that's, I guess that's where we're at with all that. But today, again, I've got Vish. I've got Jazz. You know them from Six Rings Canes Show, which airs every Monday night at 8:30. Also, you know that on Five Reasons Canes, you get the Bucket Show. And you also get, I always forget the name of the baseball show, Vish. I'm sorry.
Canes on
the
deck.
Name of the baseball. There you go. Canes on deck. Well, I don't think, well, it didn't go so well last year. Not the show, but the team. Not as well as maybe it could have. Of course, the basketball team.
I mean, it was only the worst season since 1957. I mean, what is there to complain about?
How much worse?
Right, exactly. And the basketball season was somehow worse, I think, right?
I think relative to expectations, yes.
Yeah. We're not talking about that now. We're talking, UM. We've got Florida, and again, we're doing this for a few reasons here. One is we want to introduce our listeners at Five on the Floor to the great work that these guys do. Also catch Danny and Larry with them. The great Larry Bluestein, if you don't know, he's part of the network too, Five Reasons Canes Network. But we're going to talk some stuff that crosses over here a little bit in a second. But first, I want to start here, okay? It feels to me, and I'll go to you, Jazz, on this first, it feels to me like, I don't know, is this the most optimism for a Canes team since when? Since they got blown out by LSU in the season opener? I feel like we're going back 5 years now. It feels like with the transfers, the quarterback situation, which we'll talk about, which seems to be very much stabilized right now, that Canes fans were optimistic. Is that fair?
Yeah, cautiously optimistic for some. I mean, we were on a show yesterday and some guys were mentioning anxiety and curiosity as like the words that they would use to describe this team. And I think it's cautiously optimistic, but I think nevertheless it's optimistic. You know, look, at some point, Vish says it best. And he's right. I agree with him. He always says it, right? Like there's enough with going back to the past, enough with being afraid of playing these big games and being nervous about these big games. When you are on paper the better team, when you are on paper and based off of the media and based off of what everybody is kind of talking about, how high they are on the University of Miami football program this year, I think at some point you got to just, you know, get over it, right? Get over it, move on, get excited about this team and feel optimistic, be happy, be excited about what's going on. And you know, and looking forward to the to this season as potentially the season where they put it all together and they do make the playoffs and they compete for a national title. I think all the pieces are there. You know, some may say we're not completely there yet, but some others may say Mario's all in. He's done everything that we've asked of him to do and more. And I think at that point, like, what else do you want as a fan? What else do you want? He's done everything that we've asked, and he's done everything that he's needed to do to kind of plug those flaws and those you know, insufficiencies that we've had as a program. He's done it all. He's put it all together, and I think this is the time to come out and be cautiously optimistic, but be excited and be happy about the product that we're going to be putting on the field. And I think this is the time for us to come out there and do what we say we're going to do. You're muted, Ethan.
Look at that. I can mute myself on my own show. Vish, you're not cautiously optimistic. You have him undefeated.
Well, I mean, yes. But that was a little bit of wanting to not. So Jazz and I are actually very similar minds on terms of what we picked. He picked I was thinking if they're going to drop a game at Louisville, felt like one that little bit of a what place came where they could stub their toes the week before FSU. And Jazz picked in front of me on our show and picked that same result and all the other games as wins. So I was like, well, I can't just copy Jazz. So I had choices. I could either go two losses or zero. I went to zero. So, but I will just echo what Jazz said. You know, I think there's been really, it's been 20 years since the team has been, you know, this optimistic going into the season. There was the 1 year where they played in the Orange Bowl. They blew out Notre Dame. They didn't come into the year with those expectations. Oh. They kind of built over time. So this is a little bit different. I will say that there's been pieces here and there, right, where they've had the quarterback but not the line. They've had the running back but not the defense. This time, to Jazz's point, it feels like it's kind of crescendoing together. Like, they have the two best lines in the ACC. You haven't been able to say that since the early 2000s when they weren't in the ACC. So, and then the quarterback, he was the best quarterback in the portal. It was either Miami or the NFL. He went to the NFL, but then didn't do the paperwork, so he was able to come in. Like, all of that just connecting together. It does feel like it's different this time.
So let me go through concerns, okay? And then again, we'll get to some crossover stuff as we go forward. You guys tell me which should be the biggest concern for a Canes fan. And we know there is a lot of crossover between Heat and Canes fans. In fact, I actually think there's more crossover between Heat and Canes fans than there is between Heat and Dolphin fans. We were talking about this with 3 yards per carry. There's this weird rivalry between the Heat and Dolphins organizations, which is primarily born from jealousy from the Dolphins organization towards the Heat organization over the past 25 years, and particularly the last 15 years, and Steve Ross saying things like, you know, well, they're not the team in town now that they don't have LeBron and all this. It's just this weird vibe between those two organizations. I do feel, just because I'm on Twitter X all day long, that Heat fans and Canes fans, there's a lot of crossover there. Maybe it's the Miami-based thing or whatever it is, but there seems to be a lot there. So we'll get into that as we go. But I'm going to give you some concerns that a Canes fan might have, or a Heat fan is following the Canes. You rank these. Mario screwing up from a coaching perspective in a big game. Okay. Simply playing in the swamp. Okay. And that atmosphere. And again, what losing a game in that atmosphere would mean for the rest of the season and kind of the tone that sets. And also the idea of in this portal world where you're putting pieces together on the fly, you don't really have a lot of continuity. We've seen teams have success, obviously, doing this. But the ability for, again, you're talking about, again, a highly talented quarterback. First year in the program, though, playing with a lot of guys he hasn't played with before, obviously. Of those three concerns, which would be your biggest of those three concerns, Jazz?
Now you're on mute. Oh. Man,
we're
in tradition here.
Here we go. Out of those three concerns, I would probably say initially, to start off the season, to a certain degree, it might be the continuity. For me, and the reason I say continuity is because, you know, Mario has always been known for, you know, his kind of stubbornness, right? His kind of his pride letting, you know, get the best of him for the most part, not wanting to, you know, hire, you know, offensive coordinators and let the coordinators hire their own guys, so on and so forth, right? He's known as, you know, we've been talking about and some other shows have talked about, you know, having a go through 27 different interviews for one coach to get hired and things of that nature, right? But he's kind of flipped the script on that. He's kind of done it the other way. He said, okay, well, I've got to start trusting my guys. I've got to start, you know, giving them the reins to be able to hire their guys so that there is continuity from a coaching perspective, so they're able to execute better. He even went out and he hired, you know, which all college programs do, but it, obviously we're under a microscope here when it comes to this. He hired a game management coach or analyst, however you want to kind of put it, so that they can help him, you know, help the program kind of manage the time and put us in better situations to win football games. So he's kind of done all of that. So I think that, you know, under the microscope, it looks larger than it really is. But every college football program does that. So I'm kind of confident in the coaching staff. I'm kind of confident in now the game management aspect of things. So I think that that's okay. You know, the other one was playing in the swamp. Look, listen. Cam Ward, a lot of Damian Martinez, a lot of these guys have played in big games before. They've played in big stadiums, right? Cam Ward has played in Washington, at Oregon. He's played in a lot of big games. Yes, the atmosphere is crazy, right? It's one of the best or one of the toughest places to play in college football. But, you know, after kickoff, right, there's always nerves. There's always pregame jitters. Once that ball gets kicked off, that's it. Everything kind of turns off, and it's all about what's going on in the field. You've got to adjust to certain things, and I think that these guys are prepared for that. The problem that I see with continuity is, just like you said, Ethan, right, is, you know, they haven't played in a real game together yet. So where it might not go south real fast, it might not be where they're going to struggle a lot. They may still need to get a few series or a half to kind of get the kinks out. And that's what concerns me playing in a big game is not getting the continuity quick enough. But I think, however, they're going to figure it out. I think that they've done enough in practice and the way that they are competing, as far as what I've heard and what I've seen with how their practices are going, how they're able to game plan and get everything together, that I think that while it seems like it might be an issue, I think that they're going to put it together and they'll be okay. But if I had to pick one, it'd probably be the continuity for me.
For you?
Yeah, I would agree. First of all, I'm not really the way you'd ask the question about the swamp, like how much would that like throw the season off if the Canes came up short there. I think the way if they were to come up short would matter, but actually the way they've redone the playoffs now and the fact that it was designed for five major conference teams and there's only four major conferences now, if you win the ACC, you're going to get a top four seed and a bye. Pretty much for sure, because you have to win your conference to be in the to be a top four seed in the playoffs. It's the top four conference winners,
right?
So that means every out of conference game.
The big four, which is the power four.
No, it's the top four seeds get a bye, and those are the top four conference winners. There are only four major conferences. Like
another conference championship that gets in is what I meant. That's what I meant.
But not in the top four, which is what
not in the top four. Right.
Which was the point I'm making, which is that the out-of-conference games for the Canes don't matter. You win the conference, you're going to be a top four seed in the playoffs, you'll get a bye. Whether you won all of your out-of-conference games or lost them, that's still going to be the case. So in that sense, it would only thing it could do is damage mentally, but then they have said they're going to play FAMU the week after, several games to recover from that. So I don't really think there's going to be any longer impact on that. And actually think, I mean, the answer for me is continuity, but I'm not necessarily worried about that. I mean, we do these things in college football where we worry about things like in the NFL, you turn your roster over all the time. It's not an issue. So it shouldn't be a problem. We kind of have low expectations for college programs' ability to do things, and we shouldn't.
That's right. Right.
And I actually think Mario's coaching is a net positive overall. He's had some high-profile blunders, but if you look at what he's done talent-wise in this program, putting in systems that I think are more sustainable, you know, something this program has struggled with, they're going to be able to run the football, and they're going to be able to get after the quarterback, and that's how you win football games. And so I think it's actually going to be a net positive. I'm not worried about the coaching at all.
Right. I'm going to go to this one. And then after the break, we're going to do some crossover stuff. But I just want to – Cam Ward, again, for those who are not familiar, was considered to be the best quarterback in the portal. And it came as a surprise, honestly, that he was going to stay in college. when this is said and done, will it turn out, I'll go to Vish on this first, will it turn out that this is the best quarterback that the Canes have had in the past, say, 15 years? Because there's been hype about other guys. There's been hype about a bunch of other guys, and it's gone south at times.
Yes. Short answer, yes. There's no one that's on this level that's played this way. There's been hype for guys coming out of high school. This is a proven college quarterback. It's a different level.
Jazz, you think so too? I mean, is that?
Yeah, I think that there's been, as you mentioned, right, like the Brad Kaya's, and even to a certain extent, Ja'Cory Harris coming out with that, you know, with that Northwestern team that came out of high school, won the national championship in high school, and all that. You know, some of those guys. You know, and you can even look to even more recent than that. You've had, you know, TVDs of the world and Jake Garcia's, right, and not so. But nothing like the talent, and as Vish mentioned, you know, just a proven quarterback in college. He's won some big games. He's had his trials and tribulations. He's, you know, made his mistakes, and he's, you know, he's grown. He's developed into, you know, a potential first day guy in the draft and Heisman candidate. So that's the kind of guy you want leading this team.
Well, you mentioned Tyler Van Dyke. I mean, that was. The expectations going into last season were pretty high, and obviously he didn't perform at the level that anybody expected. One more on this, and then again we'll switch over. This defense, for people who again have not followed the Canes all the way through spring football to now, give me the top three difference makers on this defense this year, Fish.
All right, I'll give one, and then Jazz can give one, and then we can finish up so we can ping pong this a little bit. Reuben Bain. Hopefully everyone's aware of him, freshman All-American last year. He's gotten bigger, stronger. Came legacy, too. There's a good through line there. He's definitely number one on my list.
Yeah, it's. I think number two is a no-brainer, Kiko Malinoa, the starting linebacker. I think that he is the captain of that defense. And, you know, he proved it last year with an excellent year. Could have gone pro last year. Came back, wanted to make the playoffs, wanted to play with his brother. Another year, which is obviously a starting right tackle, Francis Malinoa. So I think Kiko sets a tone for that defense, and he's definitely going to be an important part to being a successful defense.
Yeah, and I'll finish it off with the other end, Akeem Mezidor, who I think a lot of people forgot about, got injured and missed last year. First team All-ACC 2 years ago, had a monster season, and he didn't really have anyone again on the opposite side of him. Now you have probably a better defensive end on the other side. So I think he's going to have a huge year and remind people how talented he is. And those two guys rushing on the ends. And as Jess said, Malinoa in the middle, it's going to be hard to run the ball or really do anything in this defense if front. And so that's why I think reasons for optimism,
cautious optimism, right?
Yeah, real quick.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas podcast. Investment professionals reveal how they find their next great idea, what gives them their investment edge, and a few personal stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
Before we hop in, and I just clear up the chat a little bit. We're big fans of Lonnie Walker on Buckets, but I'm not going to start that war right now. Nice try. Dan Barry's on all of our shows. Got to shout him out.
No doubt. Yes. For those who didn't see the comment, because okay, we're on YouTube, so Dan making the case that Lonnie Walker is better than Terry Rozier. I will say Lonnie Walker's still unsigned, right? Still unsigned.
He's signing with the Celtics. Yeah.
Oh, That's right. He did. I missed that. Okay,
hence,
well,
hence the comment. Like, he's trolling us, but he's yeah. going after my heartstrings there. But still, and then yeah, shout
like, I'm a big Lonnie
this
fan.
Is, this,
to
is
be
a
on.
Fire. This is a fire tee. She's correct. Watch yeah, Buckets so, at 8, by the way.
Yes, Buckets at 8, absolutely. Tonight, if you're watching on YouTube, that's on at 8 o'clock. Tonight on Thursday night, I'm a big Lonnie fan, actually. I thought the Heat should have taken a flyer on him a year ago, but not better than Terry Rozier. As long as Terry Rozier has his neck straight, then that's the situation with that. All right, I want to tell you about Prize Picks. And then when we come back, we're going to talk, do a little crossover with these guys. PrizePicks.com, use the code 5. They've got a new promo now. Put down $5. They give you $50 to play right away. It is legal in the state of Florida. This is the daily fantasy partner of the Five Reasons Sports Network. And yes, they do college football on there. I know we mostly promote the NBA and the NFL stuff, but even tonight, they put Travis Hunter up there at 49.5 yards on a downplay prop. I played that one. And they've got plenty of specials. Actually, for this weekend, for the Saturday game, Milroe, the quarterback of Alabama, they got him at half a passing yard. So you can pair that with anything else. Gives you a better chance to win. Use the code 5 at PrizePicks. Again, get $50 to play. No questions asked. No catch. Can play it right away at PrizePicks. Again, download it from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. All right, I'm going to throw this guys at you. And we've had some great eras for South Florida sports, okay? The Marlins haven't really had an era. They had a season, and they had another season. The Panthers have now had one season where they've won a championship. So let's take the two of those out of there. Who had the most dominant stretch? Okay. The Canes, obviously going back to, I mean, you can start with the Schnellenberger title, but I'm thinking more along the lines of what years would you say would be the most dominant stretch, guys? What should we capsulize?
2000, 2001. I mean, 2001 is the greatest college football team of all time. So I think that
right.
If you're talking about, though, if you're talking about like a continuous stretch, it's the 80s.
Yeah, it's the 80s for sure.
83 to 90. 83 to 90. Well, yeah, but if you take 83 to 92, not only did they win four titles.
Right.
Lost the 92 title game, lost the 86 title game, 85, you know, is that weird era where there wasn't necessarily a title game. If they'd won the bowl game, they would have won the title. So they were, even the years they weren't winning it, they were right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take that. Okay. The Dolphins 72, 73 championships with Shula. Hasn't been a whole lot since, obviously. No playoff wins since December 30th, 2000, as I like to remind the 3 yards per carry guys. And then the Heat, four finals appearances, two championships during the Big Three, three titles in total, 2006 to 2013. And 25 years of basically not missing the playoffs since Pat Riley came in. What would you say for a certain – it's the Canes, right?
It's the Canes.
It's the Canes. And you know what? Mel brings up a good point in the chat. I mean, God, I mean, we could say what we have to say. What if, of course, because it's a what if. But look, the Kings should have been in the championship game in 2000. For some reason, it was Florida State, and we beat them in the regular season. 2001, obviously, we won it all, and then in 2002, we got robbed, right, with the pass interference call. So, and that was the national championship as well. And of course, if we play Oklahoma in 2000, I think we smoke them. So you're talking about. You can put those teams in there as some of the best teams ever as well, but they didn't win it. So I'd probably still have to go with the 80s Canes, though.
Yeah, and I think that the difference there is, and I know some of the parts changed over those 3 years, but that was a great team for 3 years. Mm-hmm. What you had in the 80s was the whole different quarterbacks, different head coach. Right. Schellenberger left, Jimmy Johnson comes in, and the machine kept going all the way through Dennis Erickson. That's the most impressive thing we've seen. Like the Heat making four NBA finals in a row is really impressive, but we call that the Big Three era. It's defined by three players. You can't define the Canes dominance from the early 80s to early 90s by any singular coach or three head coaches that won championships in that period. You know, different quarterbacks, no quarterback won twice except as a backup. It's a crazy amount of turnover that they just continue to absorb and dominate for that era. And I don't think you'll ever see anything like that again, really.
Yes, you're a Mavs fan, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So we're going to do a little bit of this.
Oh, boy. I'm going to get the hay mail now, but that's all right. That's all right. We'll do this.
Who had a better career, Dirk or Dwayne?
Oh God, you're going right at it. All right, fine. Bring it on, Dirk.
Make the case. Make the case here. Why did Dirk have a better career than Dwight? You have the title in 2011, basically because LeBron bleeped the bed, and Spo decided to play for whatever reason. Mike Bibby started in first five games before he finally went to Chalmers. But again, give Dirk credit.
Even with a head cold,
he still managed to win it.
About that is, I think if you look back at 2006 and 2011, you could easily argue that the wrong team won each of those titles.
I agree with that.
I know. Coming out of those two series, one feels right overall. The teams are like, how did we lose that? We were up, we had it right there, blew a huge lead, with the series was basically over if you didn't do that, and then collapsed. It was basically mirror images. But I will say, coming in, he's revolutionized the game. He is the, because people were trying to draft these Europeans and make them work, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. He's the reason you have Jokic, the reason you have all this, because of him. Like, he proved that, yes, you can actually build a franchise around one of these guys, because people have been trying. Mm-hmm. Spent the entire 90s trying, by the way. There's a litany of horrible draft picks of random Europeans that never amount to anything.
I'll tell you this, Vish. Pat drafted one, Mark Mirsep, and then never drafted another. Until
you traded him to the Mavericks, by the way. But eventually, that's part of collecting. The Mavericks were collecting every European they get their hands on, and then they finally got Dirk.
Was that the Mashburn trade? I think it was. Was he in the Mashburn trade? It was with that far back. I think he might have been. I think that was Kurt Thomas and Martin Mirsep. Yeah, that might have been.
That
might have been the Mashburn trade. Yeah. But okay, but the other point on this, you mentioned 2006, 2011. I think the 2006 Mavs team was better than the 2011 Mavs team. Like, you talk about the wrong team winning both series.
Yeah, the difference was the coaching. Pat Riley versus Avery Johnson was such a mismatch. And I think Spoelstra's a better coach than Rick Carlisle, too. But the mismatch wasn't as pronounced, and that was Spoelstra's kind of first rodeo. Like, I think Spoelstra now doesn't lose that series. But Avery Johnson basically made zero. Like, he was still doubling Shaq at the end of that series. And put up 50, and just like you're watching the game on the court.
His big move was moving hotels. He moved hotels. I remember a big deal was
out to Broward County. He took him out to Broward County.
Right. He took him out to Broward. I think that,
and then you have Pat Riley, who's one of the greatest basketball people, period, in history. And it's just that level of mismatch, I think, showed. I think on paper, yeah, you could argue that Mavericks team was better. But
all right, Jazz, in your opinion, who's the best Canes in history? In history, while he was playing for the Canes, not just what he did after.
Just based off of college, right?
Yes, based on what they did for the UM.
My goodness. That's such a hard question, man. That is such a hard question because. You can go to those 80s teams. You can go the Bernie Kosar, Vinny Testaverde route. You can go, to the Michael Irvins of the world, and you can go Jerome. There's so many people, but I'm gonna say that I think the guy that one of the guys, if not the guy that most people feared the most. And he's my favorite. So my favorite, I'm going to preface this by saying Sean Taylor is my favorite Cane of all time. And I think he was dominant, right? He was scary to play against. But I think that if you threw the football anywhere near Ed Reed.
Yeah.
I think that it's game over, right? That to me, it's Ed Reed is to me one of the best college football players of all time. He's obviously in there in that list as well. I think he was. They did a list recently that he was in the top 10, right? I think he was number 4 of the best college football players of all time, something like that. Ed Reed was in there, and it's got to be for Ed Reed for me.
I think. Vish, you agree with that? There's a reason I'm asking this question because I want to cross over here.
Ed Reed's the best college basketball player, football player I've ever seen. He could probably hoop too, but we saw him play football.
Would you say what Ed Reed? Because we've been doing, Dono and I have been doing these lists of the best athletes in South Florida sports history. So we've been doing this on the Five Guys show, but we stuck to pro. Okay.
Okay.
So if you were to take Ed Reed and throw him in the mix there with what he accomplished in UM, obviously shorter time period than some of these other guys played, and you were to throw him into the mix with the Marinos, with the Wades, what they accomplished in Miami, what LeBron accomplished in Miami, what Barkov is starting to put together in Broward, and some of the other guys who've been here. Is Ed Reed a top five guy ever in South Florida sports history?
I'm going to go maybe with the unpopular opinion and say no, because he wasn't here long enough. And that's a problem with college players, right? Because you threw out names, right? You threw out names right off the bat and Wade and Marino and those guys. I think he's right outside it. I mean, maybe five or six. I thought you were going to go the pro football route as well, because he's obviously the greatest safety to ever play as well. So at least in my mind. So it's tough, man. That's tough. But I may put him at five or just outside the top five.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. And I don't think any Kane, just based off of being at UM, will ever. Yeah. When you look at guys like Marino, Wade, Haslam, those are guys that it's that so extended period of time that does it. You just can't do it. If there's ever someone that does that UM and then goes to the pro team and does it there, then that would be a game changer. But until then, I don't think it happens.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned UD, who obviously would be conflicted this weekend, but he claims the Canes, right? I mean, that's typically he claims the Canes. Well, it sort of depends, right? It depends how they're doing, and then he renounces the Canes and he's a Gator alum again, but. He kind of goes both ways on that. So we do. I want to do this last thing. We appreciate Jazz and Vish joining again. Catch Six Rings Canes every Monday on the Five Reasons YouTube channel at 8:30. Also Canes on Deck and Buckets as well. Make sure you're catching up with those shows. And Vish also writes for FiveReasonsSports.com, so he'll have a piece coming up this week previewing the Gators and the Canes. Before I get to your predictions on the Gators and the Canes here, and we know that there's a huge Gator contingent. In South Florida, it's very vocal, big alumni base, and everything that goes along with that. What do you think with the Canes? Is because again, we've talked about not having the on-campus stadium and the not consistent winning of late. But I asked this question to the Dolphins guys, 3 yards per carry. Would one Canes title at this point trump? Say, I hate using that word, but would it trump another Heat title, do you think, in this market at this point? Because the Heat have won 3 times recently.
Go ahead, Vince. You can go first on that.
Short answer, yes. I think the Canes are different just because they're much more ingrained in the community from the standpoint of they take kids out of the local high schools and they come to school there. So there's that through line that you don't have in professionals. It's almost the opposite of the other question you just asked. You don't have the longevity at Miami at the college level to be like that legendary South Florida figure, but the pro sports, you don't have the, hey, they played peewee ball here and went to the local high school, then went to UM. And that's where a lot of the Cane greats went on that path. So it's much more ingrained in the community. And that's why, I mean, I see it because I don't live here. And when the Canes are even decent, the city's awash in orange and green.
Mm-hmm.
Like a few years ago, well, it's actually more than a few years now, when they that year where they, you know, started 10-0, I went to DC and came back like in the middle of season, and the town looked different. everyone was wearing orange and green. It was everywhere. And I think the Heat have recreated some of that, but I think it's also, you know, I think there's just a different thing with the Canes, and I don't think anyone cares where the stadium is other than people that try to hate on the Canes, to be honest.
Guys, I want to go a different direction with you before we close, because I know you follow this team and Vish follows the one in Dallas, which seems to be having some internal issues. At the moment, the quarterback is ignoring what the owner says. The owner still wants to play GM for the rest of his life. And so we don't want to go there. A bit of a sore subject. Canes championship, Dolphins championship.
Yeah, the city will burn if the Dolphins win another Super Bowl. Let's just put it that way. I think that this is a Miami Dolphins town, no matter what. You know, and as Vish said, I think the Heat have done a great job of keeping it alive here in South Florida sports. And now you've got the Panthers that are coming out. The Panthers are obviously the best sports franchise in South Florida right now anyways. But you know, you see the excitement with the Heat when they win. It's nice. But this is a Miami Dolphins town in my eyes, in my opinion. You know, the last time that the Dolphins went to a Super Bowl, I was a year old. And I think that even if they get close, if there's a sniff of them doing good, I think that, you know, Miami really kind of goes a little crazy. But I've spoken to a lot of people about this. I've had the same conversation. And while for me, as a Miami Hurricane fan, I take a lot more joy and passion in seeing them win a national title. I still love the Miami Dolphins. Right, I still follow them. I still, root for them as hard as any other team aside from maybe the Hurricanes. But I think that if they win a Super Bowl, I think the town, I think Miami will. I mean, you're talking about flipping cars over and people running naked all over the street and setting houses on fire. I think that that's what would happen if the Miami Dolphins win another Super Bowl here. So I'd have to say, unbiasedly, I think the Miami Dolphins winning another Super Bowl kind of trumps everything.
That might happen. All that overturning cars and stuff might happen if they win a playoff game, to be honest. It's been so damn long. All right, want to thank Vish. Want to thank Jazz. I know Vish has got to get to another show tonight on the YouTube channel. Make sure you catch that, Buckets, when that airs here on the network as well. And again, follow Vish at VRP2003 and Jazz at Jazz Santana. Have a good day, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.